And on this day, I am very pleased to welcome forward Melinda Icarius from our preaching team, who will be sharing the word with us.
Good morning. For the purposes of this sermon, I'm backing up to the beginning of the 20th chapter of John and incorporating some additional characters. Although it's complex, there are basically two parts to the story of Thomas. First, Thomas doubted, and second, Thomas believed. Thomas doubted. What did he doubt? He doubted what his fellow disciples, his fellow humans, told him. What did they tell him? They told him that Jesus had risen from the dead and was alive. We all doubt sometimes. We doubt things we have taken for granted. We can doubt things we've believed all our lives. And when we suddenly doubt things we have depended on, doubt can feel like staring into a pit. And if the pit is small, a pothole in the road, most of us walk around it. But occasionally, for some of us, the pit opens up suddenly, broad and deep, with continually crumbling edges, not a pothole, but a sinkhole, and we can't look anywhere but down. Thomas doubted. I think we forget sometimes that the other disciples also did not believe until they had seen. A sinkhole opened for them, and they cowered in that inner room, staring into darkness. The women came with the news that the grave was open, and Peter and another disciple ran to the tomb to see, and there were Jesus' grave clothes neatly folded, but they didn't see Jesus. Mary, sitting by the grave, gazed down into her sinkhole of doubt until Jesus called her by name, and she looked up and saw him. And then she cried out, "Rabboni! Teacher." She ran to the disciples and told them what she had seen, but despite her words, they were still locked in their inner room when Jesus appeared. Then they were overjoyed. Since hearing Mary's news, they may have been hoping against hope, but they had still looked down and around at each other. Doubt was still there. And now it was not. They had looked up and seen Jesus. In today's gospel, Thomas entered the inner room where the other disciples had been hiding. They were relieved, excited, celebrating. They told him that Jesus had appeared to them while Thomas was not there. Thomas wanted this news to be true, but it was not his nature to believe that it actually could be true. He persisted in looking down. Thomas doubted what the disciples told him, but when he looked up and saw Jesus, he believed and cried out, "My Lord and my God." I'm oversimplifying this story, but my point is this. All of the characters in this passage were familiar with the living Jesus and had learned from him. Nevertheless, all of the characters in this passage experienced doubt, not just Thomas. All of them had difficulty believing the message when a person told them Jesus had risen, not just Thomas. And all of them had to look up from their despair and see Jesus before they truly believed and rejoiced. When they actually saw Jesus, his side, his hands, all of them believed, including Thomas. Virtually every character in chapter 20 of John had to see Jesus in order to believe in the resurrection. When Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed," Jesus wasn't talking about any of them. He was talking about us. Not long ago, I encountered a pothole. Just a yes-no question. I was in the middle of a Sunday school lesson, and it popped into my mind, do I really believe what I am teaching these students to believe? As a card-carrying member of the Bipolar Society, I immediately found myself staring straight down into a sinkhole. Do I believe any of it? Do I believe what I see in Bible study? Do I believe what the human authors I read say? Do I believe what family members and teachers and pastors have taught me? Do I believe what I have heard in dozens of churches? Is that strong voice I think I have heard throughout my life actually the Holy Spirit, or is it just in my head? And on and on. After 74 years of depending on the existence of God, I was asking, do I believe it or do I doubt? I have all that experience and believe in the Christian precepts we learn from the Scripture, but as I stood on the edge of a growing sinkhole, staring down, I couldn't help thinking of the skeptic's argument that even the Scripture is written by human beings. I have not seen the resurrected Christ. Can I believe that Christ existed? That he did more than teach for a few years before his death? Can I believe that Christ is the incarnation of God? Can I believe that Christ's blessing on those who have not seen and yet believed is meant for me? Can I actually take my eyes off that growing darkness and look up? My answer is yes. Even when all I can look at is the ground dropping out from under my feet, yes. Why? Why? Because no matter what I have learned, the power to believe comes from God, not from me. When I persist in looking down, God surrounds me with the strength to look up. God tells me to have faith, and then God gives it to me. All I have to do is grasp it. And if I drop my belief, God picks it up and gives it back. When I open my hands to show that they are empty, God fills them. The moment I admit to God, to Pastor Ari, to a friend that I'm not sure I believe, I feel the Holy Spirit inside me rising to meet the emergency. How do I climb out of the sinkhole of doubt? I don't. I can't. But I don't have to. When we think we are responsible for proving even to ourselves that Christ has risen from the dead, then I can't is terrifying. But I don't have to is an incredible relief. Because God's all-encompassing presence, God's grace, and God's love come from God continually, then we are safe, even when we doubt. The ups and downs of our personal beliefs affect us, but they don't affect God's care for us. What I see may not be what the disciples saw, but I see the reality of the resurrection. Each in our own way, we look up, we see, and we believe. Amen.